We now begin the second parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, and the main point of this parak is going to be the halachas that apply specifically to a king, a Melech Yisrael, both in the context of judgment and his covenant in general. But the first Mishnah here is going to talk about another major player in Jewish society who also is deserving of kavod, that's the Kohen Gadol. And we're going to contrast the halachas as they apply to the Kohen Gadol with, ultimately we'll see what applies to the king. So, in short, the Kohen Gadol is largely like a regular Jew in most cases, but there are some differences because of his kavod. So the Mishnah says inside, first of all, Kohen Gadol dan v'dan noso. First of all, the Kohen Gadol can function as a dayan, as a judge, meaning he can sit on a bezdin, and we're not concerned that perhaps people would defer to him because he's the Kohen Gadol and would agree with him and not express their opinions. We're not choshesh for that. We're not afraid of that. And v'dan noso, he can be tried in a court, meaning, if, as we said previously in the previous parak, if he does something wrong, he can face the regular courts in a normal situation. The only exception we saw before is that if we're talking about a capital case where he's facing potentially a death penalty, so then the Kohen Gadol must be tried in the Sanhedrin Gadol of 71. Okay, there is some who learn that the chiddush here, because not much of a chiddush otherwise, is that you might have thought that he is exempt from a certain dinei Torah. Namely, you might have thought when it comes to the mitzvah of galus, when a person kills b'shogeg, accidentally, so then he goes to one of these Ari Miklat, these cities of refuge. So when a person is sent to a city of refuge, Ir Miklat, he has to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. Now, if we're talking about the Kohen Gadol himself being the perpetrator of the death, so then he essentially is never coming out of the Ir Miklat, he's staying there until he dies. So you might have thought it doesn't apply to him. It does apply to him. It's actually Beferish Mishnah that applies to him. But in any case, that's one possibility of the Chiddush. Otherwise, we're just simply saying this to contrast with the king, which we'll say he actually isn't done in certain circumstances. Wait, Bez Hashem, to see on that in the next Mishnah. So next is the Mishnah, Me'id u'me'id noso. The Kohen Gadol can testify functioning as an aid, as a witness, and Me'id noso, he can be testified against by witnesses. And the truth is that this shouldn't be understood in its face value. The Kohen Gadol normally would not testify as a witness in a case. The reason why is because it's really learned out from the halachas of Hashavas Haveda, the returning of a lost object, where the Torah gives a dispensation for someone to get involved in returning a lost object. If it's not lefi chvodo, if it's like he was a zaken, he's someone worthy of kavod, and it's beneath his dignity to participate in the returning of the lost object, he's exempt. And in general, anytime you help someone from preventing them from loss or helping them recover something that they have lost, that's included in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, which would be the case similarly for something like, you know, a court case if someone needs someone to testify on their behalf to recover their loan or something. Which means, in short, that under normal circumstances, in fact, the Kohen Gadol is exempt from functioning as an aid, as a witness. However, there are certain situations in which they would function as an aid, like, for example, if you're talking about a king is involved and he needs the Kohen Gadol as a witness, he's going to testify in the Sanhedrin, a Gadol, and the like. So, in such a scenario, Kohen Gadol is going to be functioning as an aid. That's what it means over here. Mid no so would mean the more generic sense that he can be testified against. That's not a problem. And there's a real Chiddush there. The Chiddush only is in contrast to a king, as we'll see Bez Hashem in the next Mishnah. Next, we're going to go to a new topic here, the topic here of chalitza. So you recall the mitzvah of Yibum and chalitza, they're two separate mitzvahs, they go hand in hand, where if a person dies, he has no living descendants at the time of his death, so then his brother is expected essentially to marry the widow, that's called Yibum, or to release her of the bond that she has to him, that zika, that bond, through chalitza, through this procedure called chalitza, which entails basically three steps. Summing up, number one, the shoe of the brother who's not marrying the widow is taken off by the widow. She then spits on the ground in front of him, and she says, thus is done to the man who won't build up his brother's name, home. So that is considered to be sort of like not a very respectful event because someone's spitting in front of you. So you therefore might think that a person is, the Kohen Gadol is exempt from participating, as we'll see the king shortly. But as far as the Kohen Gadol, says the Mishnah, actually choletz, he can do chalitza. I mean, he can participate in that. He can have his shoe taken off and he can, you know, be spat in front of, and that's the mitzvah, and that's, he is subject to it as well. V'choltz in l'ishto, similarly, if the Kohen Gadol dies, so then his brother could do chalitza and release her from Azika. Umiyabnes ishto. Alternatively, the Kohen Gadol's brother would be allowed to actually marry, through Yibum, the late Kohen Gadol's widow. That's also permitted. What is not permitted is avalhu enu miyabem. The Kohen Gadol himself cannot do Yibum for his sister-in-law, meaning he can't marry his sister-in-law. Mipnei, says the Mishnah, mipnei shu aser ba'almana. The Torah prohibits a Kohen Gadol from marrying not just a gerusha, a divorcee, which is the prohibition from the Torah on every Kohen, but also the Kohen Gadol can't marry a widow. A regular Kohen could marry a widow, but a Kohen Gadol may not. So in the case of Yibum, of course, you're essentially marrying a widow, your brother's widow, so that becomes forbidden, and since the Torah prohibits it, so then he cannot do the mitzvah of Yibum. The truth is, there's actually a second reason why the Kohen Gadol can't marry his sister-in-law through Yibum, which is the Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah asay to marry a Basula, a virgin. So you got two reasons there, and because of that, there's no way for the Kohen Gadol to do Yibum. There is a technicality, which is midoraisa, if the sister-in-law had, she was still a Basula, she had only done Kedushin, so then you have a mitzvah aseh of Yibum against a los aseh of marrying a almana, and technically a mitzvah aseh is docha los aseh, so midoraisa, he could do Yibum with her. The problem is, Yibum's like a one-time mitzvah, but after that he wouldn't be allowed to stay married to her. And therefore the rabbis said, midurabanan, even in such a weird scenario like that, the Kohen Gadol is not doing Yibum, because we don't want that to happen. Okay, that's that. Now next we're talking about what happens if the Kohen Gadol loses a relative, so we're talking about the mourning procedure. So first of all, no, the Kohen Gadol, like all Kohanim, is prohibited from ever becoming Tamei from Tumas Meis. Not allowed to become Tamei. The difference is a regular Kohen has an exception to that rule, which is if a regular Kohen's Zayin Krovim, one of the seven relatives, specifically we're talking here about the mother or the father, the sister or the brother, the son or the daughter, or the wife, those seven relatives, and really it's only a sister if she's not married, but those seven relatives, if a Kohen loses them, so then he actually does participate in the funeral and does become Tamei for them, but a Kohen Gadol not. Kohen Gadol can't even become Tamei for his own mother and the like. So, what happens if his relative dies? So, meis lo meis, in such a scenario, eino yotza achar mita. He can't even walk behind the bier, like the thing on which the corpse is being carried. The reason why is because we're afraid he's going to be distraught and he's going to get too close. You remember there's an issue even of ohel being under the same overhang, and he'll end up becoming tamei, which is an iser. So since we can't let that happen, he has to keep his distance even from the bier itself, so he can't participate in a normal way within the funeral procession. This restriction, by the way, and we're going to describe it a little more in a moment, would only apply to one of his seven relatives specifically, because other people, I don't know what, you know, just his friend and neighbor. So he certainly cannot become Tamei for them, but he could participate at a distance in their funeral. We're not afraid he's going to do something, you know, rash or without thinking because he's, you know, got his sensibilities because not his own relative. But in the case of his relatives, we have further restrictions. So how does it work? It says the Mishnah, Elehen nichnasin v'hu nigle, he niglin v'hu nichse, which means literally they, meaning the funeral procession, goes in, and then he emerges, or they get covered, and then he emerges, and then they emerge, and he gets covered. What it means is, we're talking about not being on the same street at the same time. So basically, when they turn the corner, then he can go on the street. So he's basically standing far enough behind the funeral procession that he's always like kind of one turn away from them. Therefore, he's certainly not going to be close enough to become Tamei. He's actually not an Eishon of them at all. That's the way you do it. Ve'yotze iman ad Pesach ha'ir, and he follows the procession just until the exit of the city. Right, the entrance or exit of the city is where the funeral procession would then head on to get to burial. The cemetery itself, of course, being outside the city. So according to Reb Meir, this Reb Meir Shita, he can't go further than the city entrance or exit, because according to the Bar Tanura, at that point, you know, there's no more alleyway, so he can't play this kind of cat and mouse game of being one turn behind the procession. There are, however, those who learn, it seems that Rambam's included in them, that there's actually an Isser D'Oraisa in general for the Kohen Gadol to leave Yerushalayim. So according to that approach, we're talking about Isser D'Oraisa not leaving the city boundary of Yerushalayim because of that Isser D'Oraisa, not because of the Sderabanan that the alleyways are gone, that the Bar Tanura learns. Okay, that's Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Yotze Min HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he doesn't participate in the funeral procession of his relatives at all. Again, he could for the other ones, but not for the relatives. Because, Shneimar as a Pasuk says, Umin HaMikdash Lo Yetze, which explicitly means, and he may not leave the Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, the precincts of the temple. Now, the Gemara ends up saying that we shouldn't take this quite totally literally, because the Kohen Gadol doesn't live in the Beis HaMikdash. He lives at home. He just goes, so to speak, to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So he can't leave his home or the Beis HaMikdash. So the idea is basically that the Torah is saying he shouldn't participate in the funeral, not that he can't leave the Beis HaMikdash proper. And that's how it is. So the Kohen Gadol does not participate in the funeral. He stays at home or the Beis HaMikdash, as the Pasuk says. And that will be the din. Okay, now, next, after a funeral happens. So now we're not talking about, for a moment, the Kohen Gadol mourning, we're talking about somebody else mourning. But in general, when there's mourning, so the way it happens nowadays, if you've been to a funeral, you know, is that essentially the people doing the consoling form two lines, and the mourners walk between them, receiving tanchumen, receiving consolation. The custom today is say Hamakom Menachem Eschem, and so on. So it's the mourners who are doing the walking, and the consolers who are standing still. In the time of the Mishnah, it was the other way around, okay? So that means the practice was that the mourners stood still and the consolers walked past them. Okay, and that's what Amisha's thinking. That's the picture it has in its mind here. So it's thinking, listen, how do you deal with people who are in mourning? They're standing still. The crowds are going to pass them, wishing them, you know, consolation. And the Kohen Gadol wants to participate. The problem is it's not considered to be within the, you know, proper cover of the Tamarachach, of the Kohen Gadol, to walk like Barbuvia and the crowd with everybody else. He should be distinct. So that means, essentially, you know, if you imagine that there's like a line of mourners on the left, then just the right of them will be the passing by, will be the mourners, the consolation crew, you know, the people walking past. So the Kohen Gadol won't walk in that line with everybody else, so he'll be further to the right, okay? Not to be mixed in with the crowds. So he'll be separate and distinct further to the right. The problem is, if he's like doing like that, not only is he distinct and separate from the crowds, it kind of looks like he's an outcast and a loner all by himself. It's not mechubadah for him to walk alone. So therefore, we're going to have, to his right, another person, like the deputy, who's the substitute, Kohen Gadol in the case, like remember, like in Yom Kippur, if he becomes Tame, there's a substitute. So this Sagan, this deputy, he's going to walk to the right of the Kohen Gadol, which means the Kohen Gadol basically has his deputies to the right, he has the people to his left, and therefore he's not walking alone, but he's walking distinct from the rest of the crowds. And that's how the Kohen Gadol will do it. That's the picture that the Mishnah has in mind. And the words the Mishnah says is as follows: Ukeshehu menachem acherim. When the Kohen Gadol is going to provide condolences, consolation to other people who are in mourning. So then, derech kol ha'am over in bezachar zeh. So then, everyone else walks in like in a line, single file, past the mourners who are stationary. V'hamamuna mimatzo beino levena am. And then the appointed person, this is the Sagan, the deputy, the Sagan Kohen Gadol, he essentially places the Kohen Gadol in the middle, so to speak, meaning the deputy Sagan Kohen Gadol is on the right, the people are on the left, and the Kohen Gadol is in the middle, so he puts it in the middle so that the Kohen Gadol can walk like that, as I described before. Now the Mishnah says, what happens if the Kohen Gadol is the one who is receiving the Tanchumen? He's lost somebody, so people are coming to console him. So it says the Mishnah, Ukeshehu misnachem me'acherim, when he's getting consoled by others, Kol ha'am omrin lo, so everyone who comes past him, they say to him a special blessing, which is not the usual kind, which is Anu Kaparascha, we are your atonement. V'hu Omer Lehen, and then he would respond back to them, Tis Baruchu Min HaShemayim, you should be blessed from heaven. Now the last part of the Mishnah is talking about the Sudas Havra'ah. There's a rule, a din, that when a person comes back from burying his dead, the first meal should be provided not from his own personal resources, but by his friends and family. Called the Sudas Havra, the word Havra from the word Bara, which means like to eat a little bit. So they give him food. So how is that going to work? They're going to basically come to sit with him like this, like meal after the burial. So the concern is we want to be Mechabed the Kohen Gadol. He's supposed to be sitting essentially down low to the ground, right? So normally a mourner would just sit on the ground. And sitting on the ground was just not that big a deal in the good old days of the Mishnah, but that's not considered to be appropriate. He's on the ground with them. They want to be sort of being participating in his mourning, so they're going to be mishtatef and also kind of sit on the ground, but he shouldn't be on the ground at their level because he's the Kohen Gadol. So that's the tension we have the Mishnah trying to resolve. There's a separate issue, which is you're not allowed to sit on like a bed. They would sit on couches normally, but if you're a mourner, so there's a din of what's called kfiyas hamita, you're supposed to turn like the couch upside down. Now, that would apply to a Kohen Gadol as well, but it's not really mechubar for him to sit on this upside down couch. So therefore, how do we do it? It says the Mishnah will put him on a stool. And a stool is low to the ground, so it's like with it's you know within three tefachim of the ground. It's like I'm sitting on the ground. It doesn't need to be turned over because it's not really a mita, so it's exempt from this weird kfiyas hamita business. So that we can have the Kohen Gadol sitting on the stool low down to the ground, and then everyone else is coming to console him can sit on the ground itself. So they're participating with him, they're mishtatef with him, and they're showing him proper cover. They're not sitting above him. That's the move. So it says the Mishnah inside, Ukashim Mavrin also, when they provide him with this meal after his lost his relative, Kol Am Mesuban Al Ha'aretz, so then all the people will sit on the ground proper, right on the ground proper, Vahu, and as for the Kohen Gadol, Mesiv Al HaSafsal, he will sit on a lowly stool, as I described before.